Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through.
Sorry for the delay. We had some technical issues, but we're here. We thank God that we're here. The enemy is just trying to keep this word from going out and going over the airwaves, and we thank God for his goodness. Good morning. This is August the 21st, 2021. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, I do apologize for anybody that clicked on and we were not on. We had some delays this morning. But praise God, we're here. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We thank God for our co-host who hosted on last week, who gave a phenomenal show. And we have part two of that show, and we have got a spirit-filled lesson. Let's get to it. You know, I give announcements, but on today, because we got a late start, you know that if you want to give me a call, Dr. Maria Carey, 309-750-7584 to receive any of those announcements. I will gladly fill you in on what's going on right now. Our School of Ministry, we are in our Old Testament survey classes. And also, please consider to give a donation to Amazing Grace Ministries. And certainly for more information on that, you can give me a call as well. We have a spirit-filled show. We are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. And certainly those of you that are in Radio Land, you can hear this show again in its entirety, like clicking the link, http://tobtr.com/s/11988942. So we have a word that will captivate your minds. We've been getting into our spiritual gifts on this morning, praise the Lord. We have been talking about that. I do a class on knowing your spiritual giftings. And if you want out there in Radio Land, if you want to participate in this class, give me a call and I will register you and we will get that set up. Because what I'm doing is just giving you a snippet of what it means to operate in my spiritual gifts. And certainly on last week, the topic was allowing the manifestation of your gifts. And we defined what gifts are, what manifestations are, and allowing, what allowing means. We also broke down those gifts individually so that you can understand where or what they are. So now we're going to get into part two. Part two meaning get into the word, shall we? So today's title is The Manifestation of My Gift Within My Talents. My Talents. Okay? So we're coming from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And I'm going to read the King James Version, and then I think I may even read the New Living Translation, because that tends to be a little bit better understanding. So King James, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Want you to underline abilities. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged into the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants and hearkened with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, The Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gain beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast made faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. And he also had received 2 talents, came unto said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which has received 1 talent came unto the and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Thank you, Lord. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered unto him and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I reap not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I could have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talents from him and gave it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has, and cast unto the unprofitable servant unto our outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And certainly there's a parable with that on the last verse. But when we look at that, this parable talks about talents. And if we look at the New Living Translation, and certainly the first verse reads, 14 reads, and again, the kingdom of heaven can be established by the story of a man going on a long journey. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he had gone. He gave 5 bags of silver, two bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to last, dividing it in portions to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant who with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Now, we're going to jump all the way down to 22. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw his useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So let's talk about these talents. Here we see this story, this parable God gives of 3 servants. A man, their master gives and trusts them with money. So in essence, when you look at the money that they were giving, they were to use their talents to reproduce or to produce more a profit in essence, or to gain double what they had also been given. And in this case, we see that the talents that they are talking about is bags of money. So in essence, we have talked about manifestation and allowing and gifts. So we also have to talk about the individual's talent. We are unique. We are unique to how God has made us. There is no one person, except maybe if they're twins, that they are alike. And twins, we see, have the same features. They have the same body color. We know that they may be identical, but then they also may be twins, but not identical. One may be a boy, one may be a girl. So in essence, they're different. Even identical twins are different. Some like to dress like each other, but then there is a uniqueness about them. They want their own identity. They want their own sense of self, in essence. They want their own personality. They have their own personality. And because they have their own personality, they do things differently from each other. So we see that the definition for talent is a natural skill or a natural aptitude. And if you've ever done an IQ test, they test your abilities and your intelligence. So what are you capable of doing, and how intellectual, how smart are you? So they do it on twofold. So here we have, in essence, and I want to talk about these individuals, but first of all, I want to talk about the concept of personality. And this blog may be a little teaching. I will try to tune up in a little bit, but I want to get you to understand how we operate in the sense of our spiritual gifts. All of this work hand in hand. When the word goes forth and God says, I know you, I know every hair on your head. I know you, I know you, I know how I have made you. I know you from birth. I know you as you were born in your mother's womb. Because he knows us, he knows the cells that make us up. And certainly when we are made up, we have two parents. We have a mom and we have a dad, and we gather genes from both of those parents. It's a 50-50 split. And sometimes genetics will say that this particular gene skips a generation. If there's twins that run in the family, then the next generation or the generation afterwards, somebody in that family will have twins because they have what is called the genetic makeup or their genes or those chromosomes have that makeup to produce twins, if you understand where I'm coming from. Praise God. So when we talk about the concept of personality, the concept of my personality was developed a basic question. Why do people behave the way we do? And the notion of personality offers a way of thinking that allows to organize or relate different kinds of behavior that people engage in to understand the mechanisms by which we or individual tend to create and maintain our behavior. Because in Matthew, this 25th chapter, we see four individuals. We see the servant who says, not the servant, but the master who says, I am going to trust three of my trusted servants with bags of silver. And I am going to look at their given traits, their abilities, and their talents. Now, I'm sure if we look at, I know this is an analogy, but he gave one five. He gave one two. He gave one one. Based on their uniqueness, based on their abilities, and probably I would think based on their talents. So when we look at personality traits, or personality traits, we all have them. What are they, Dr. Carey? As a result of interaction between my temperament and social response. Now, those are listening and scientific words. But it's habit forming. It's the tendency of our brains to develop and in doing so, they are entrenched or they are embedded patterns of conscious or unknowing behaviors. So automatically I do things because it is in my nature to do it. So that behavior is in my nature. So that habit, the habits of my personality offers up what is called personality traits. So it's a style or certain style of how I interact, my interpersonal problems or my interpersonal behaviors. For example, a personality trait is an action, how I move, what type of actions I perform, attitudes and behaviors. All of those are personality traits. Now, here are some positive traits. When you tell a person, you know, you're dependable, that's a trait. When you are fair, that's a trait. When you are fearless, that's a trait. Now, here's some negative traits Laziness, it's a personality trait. Dishonest, it's a personality trait. Cowardly, it's a personality trait. Again, we're talking about patterns of behavior that are embedded or that we either create by childhood, how we interact in our environments, and thus those traits are developed. And so as we become adults, those personality traits form how we behave in society and around us. If we feel or if we have a ability or if we feel like, you know, I have to be on time at work. I have to have my desk all clean. I've got to have it, everything in a particular order. That is your personality trait. And certainly God is going to operate in you using that personality trait. Now, there are some traits that God has to deliver us from. If we procrastinate, if we don't move on where God says or what God tells us to do, like that example of the talent given to the last servant, then God has to move in us. God has to work on us. God has to get us to the point where the Spirit of God operates in us to move me, to move us past ourselves. But God knows who you are. God knows every hair. God knows what you're going to do before you're going to do it. And so God calls us according to our ability. And then he takes that ability and he transforms that ability to something that he can use for his glory. Because he will put you in situations that you may not understand, but he will get the glory. And because he gets the glory, then the Holy Spirit will operate in you and move you forward in that gift that he has given you. But it starts out with your unique personality and your traits. So what is temperament? I said temperament and social response. Dr. Carey, this is a spiritual show. You're giving us all kinds of technical psychology terms and stuff, because I'm going to give you another one, because I'm going to talk about our sense of self. But when we talk about all this, we have to be able to see the word as and apply that word to us in everyday living. How is that word working in me? What is that word saying? Okay, God gives talents and abilities. I see the fivefold ministry, but God has given me a talent and a gift too that operates in the church. And it is up to me to seek God and to ask God, what is my talent? What is my gifting? What am I called to do? What is my purpose? And God, you manifest that purpose in me. We don't want to leave this earth without having God's full potential operated in us. We allow fear, we allow situations, we allow Satan to talk in our ear, to tell us we ain't nothing, we ain't got no ability, you can't do anything. But God is saying that is not true. I have made you. You are my child. And when you come over unto the Lord's side, I'm going to take your talents. I'm going to take the way you were raised. I'm going to take everything about you, and I'm going to use it for my glory. Ooh, I said I'm going to be teaching. I'm getting happy. So when we talk about temperament, temperament is a biological determinant set of behaviors. It is a distinctive pattern of response, dispositions, and sensitivities. So as a child, children are born with a certain temperament. Whether that child is born, my cousin, just gave birth to a beautiful young boy. And certainly she says, well, he stays up all night. Temperament. And when you look at those temperaments and when you look at those patterns of behavior, that's why we have to train a child in the way that they should go. Because already when they come here, they have a certain trait or certain disposition or certain dispositions. And those patterns of behaviors have to be trained. Baby may be crying. Maybe may not hear a cry out of him. That child may just talk and coo. And then there's another child that just seems to cry all the time. Temperaments, styles of behavior in essence. So a person's temperament will make it easier to initiate and maintain certain forms of behavior. It may be more difficult to initiate or maintain, or it may be easier. So temperament also tends to activate different brain chemistry, activities that produce pleasure, pain, or notable differences. So in essence, stuff be going off on your brain. So chemicals. And when we look at our uniqueness, we are uniquely born. God has given us everything we need within this body. One of the examples, I want you to go and do an experiment when you go to church. When you get an opportunity, if your church is open and you go to church, I want you to make a forcible determination to go into the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. I know the Bible says enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise, and I want you to do that. I want you to actively do that. And then text me and say, Dr. Carey, I want to know how you feel afterwards. If you were feeling down and out when you go in church and you make an active ability or active choice to come into the church and just give a radical praise to the Lord, and then you come out the door, you should be happy. And that's because what you are doing, you are producing chemicals in your brain that make you feel happy. Endorphins. So our brain, just like temperament, just all these scientific terms and psychological terms that I'm talking about on this morning, and hopefully you're getting an understanding, is how we operate, our brain functioning, how we move, how we think, how we operate. So our temperament is those patterns of behavior, whether that baby is fussy or whether that baby is just calm, cool, and collected, which you see different personality, even your personality style. If you say, Dr. Carey, well, you know, I'm cool under pressure, or if you're not cool under pressure, you just scatter, you just up, you just happy, you just running around, you just can't seem to get it together. When you stressed, all of those talk about your temperament, your personality, your abilities to function, how you operate, how you move in terms of your behavior. All right? So as a result, the temperament of a child creates tendency to behave in a certain way and not to behave in others. A person's temperament influences what they do, but it don't control what they do. It influences. So when you get stressed, or you can either get anxious, angry, mad, frustrated, but you don't have to. Temperament. So when we look at temperament and interest, I want to talk about, in essence, a boy and a girl. And I hope, again, I hope I'm making sense. I know this tends to be a little teachy, like I said, but I want you to understand your gifting and your talents. I want you to understand that God takes your uniqueness and gives you a gift according to your talent, your ability to handle that temperament, that gift. And then when you say, I can't handle that gift, he say, with me, you can do all things. I know you. I know how what your makeup is. I'm not going to give you, like, even this talk show that we have. My presentation is different from my co-host presentation, but is not less no powerful. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. She delivers in her temperament, her style. I deliver in my temperament and my style. And that's how talents and giftings go. God will take what you have and he will put his glory, he will put his anointing, he will put the spirit of the living God on it, and he would make it benefit him. Ooh. So a boy whose temperament is sensitive. Now, what you mean sensitive? Now, when we get to two-parent homes, and I really need to break this down, you know, we know in homes where mom and dad, that we have a young boy growing up, he is manly. His father teaches him those things that are unique to being a man. But if he's sensitive, if he's intuitive, if he's artistic, those natures can be more vulnerable to a disruption in the relationship with his father. So we see on television, you've seen movies where the child, the son, likes arts and he likes crafts. He don't like football and baseball. That would mean a disruption in the father and son relationship, because the father likes baseball, football. How can you be my son and you like all this stuff? You more like your mama than you are me. So he experiences rejection and ridicule, and therefore he will struggle with his masculinity or his spirituality. Mm-hmm. Now, same thing for a girl whose temperament is aggressive, comes out the womb hollering, kicking, throwing a tantrum, fussing. If the parents are aggressive and athletic, then you will have a strong heterosexual female woman, because that's her parents' style. But if she's athletic, if she's aggressive, and her mother is not, then there's going to be a struggle. If she's a tomboy, if she is a woodsy type of female, she's not pretty or dainty, as they say females need to be, then there will be certainly a conflict between mother and daughter. Mother will struggle to accept her aggressiveness, and daughter's an active daughter and a sense of mother's ambivalence. So she will seek love because the mother cannot give her that love, because mom struggles with her temperament, with how she, with her abilities and her behaviors, the fact that she's aggressive, she's athletic, she's hollering, she's expressing and challenging her environment. So that's how we come up with how we develop our sense of who we are, certainly our environment. And as African Americans, we are living in a society that certainly have influenced our abilities to function, our abilities to function in a society where it seems like there are more problems that we have than other cultures. But God is in the blessing business. There's nothing too hard that God can't fix. So then there's a sense of personality, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. When we talk about the sense of self and personal in psychology, we're talking about a way a person thinks, a way a person operates, his talents, his beliefs, the purpose that he has within his world, his dynamics, whether or not he has self-esteem, whether he can look in the mirror and say, I'm somebody, or I have my full abilities to operate. So when we see all that, when we deal with all that, we know that our roles, the roles of the people in our lives are really important, our mothers, our fathers, our mentors, because they help to develop who we are as children, as we groom, as we grow up, as we grow up into adulthood. If we don't grow up in a positive environment, then that environment affects our sense of self and so affects our talents and our gifts and our abilities and how God uses us. But that does not mean that God don't use us, because our environments and our gifts and where we grow up has been ordained by God. And because it's been ordained by God, there is a unique purpose in which we are created for. And those spiritual gifts that God has given us operates within the realm of who we are, how we think, how we move, how we believe. God begins to do a new thing. So when the word comes, and Romans 12 and 2 talks about to renew your mind, to take your mind off of the world and to renew it and to look to the Lord, from which cometh your help, and your help cometh from God, and to renew that mind. And I put a couple of scriptures together there. But it's because God operates in you to do his perfect will. And he knows what's embedded into you. He knows how you function. He knows your ability. He knows what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And he knows what you're going to do before you do it. And certainly the word says there's nobody, and I'm paraphrasing it, because the word is saying that you can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. He's made you. He's put you in the environment that you're in, where he allowed it to happen. We know that sin happens, so therefore, because we're living in an environment of sin, Satan is in this world, and Satan operates in this world, and we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities. And because we live in a realm that is of sin, God takes the experiences that we have come out of to give him the glory. He knows you, and he knows what you are capable of doing. However, we are fearful. We don't believe. We don't think. We put God in a box, and we say God is not able. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter what you think or your behaviors. God knows you. And God is using you in those areas. God is moving you, especially because of those areas, because there are people that you're going to be able to touch that I can't touch. There are people that somebody nobody else will be able to touch that you can't touch because of your experiences, because of your environment, because of where you have come from, and because God is moving you forward in that gift and in that talent. Oh, so when God gives you that talent, when God puts that bag of silver in your hands, when God puts the five talents or that five bags of silver in your hands, that two bags of silver in your hands, or that one bag of silver in your hands, and if he give you the one bag, don't bury it, but ask God, what you want me to do? You have put this, you have given me this, you have given me a desire to learn in this area, and if you have given that a desire to learn in whatever area that you're functioning in, God will manifest that talent and make a way out of no way, because he wants you to know that he is in control, that he is the person that's going to work it out, that he is God Jehovah, that he is God that made you. There's nothing under the sun that you will do that he don't know about. There's nothing that he can't give you if you believe it, because God will do exceedingly and abundantly according to that power that worketh in us. So that talent, that gift that God gives me, God will work it out for his good. So when we see the manifestation of the Spirit that's given to every man, and he gives that manifestation, and he pours out on us that divine grace, that divine will to operate in his kingdom, to operate in his world. So in essence, if he gives us, the more he gives us, of course, the more he gives us, the more responsibility we have. And the more Satan will attack us, the more Satan will come after us, because God says, I can trust you to handle my affairs. I can trust you to do what I am asking you to do with your talent, with your money, and your money is also a talent. We don't get some more into gifting. To give is a talent. It's a gift, y'all. Praise God. Hopefully, I think my co-host talked about that. But the Lord is saying, I need you to be faithful. I need you to come before the altar and bring all of you. Don't be scared, because there's stuff in us that God's got to work out of us. Their behaviors, their temperaments that we have, that have been formed as we are as in our childhood, that we don't understand. There are things that make us fearful, but we don't understand why we're fearful. Because God needs to search in us to take out everything that's not like him. The servant with the five talents on the five bags of silver was bold. He was bold enough to know that I'm going to take these five bags and I'm going to make five bags more. The second servant, he said, well, I'm going to work to get some extra money. I put my money, this money in, and I'm going to work and double it. But then the last servant sat on God's ability to move. He just buried it. Don't bury your talents. Don't bury it. Give them to God and allow God to manifest the Holy Spirit in you to function like he wants to. God, I'm not sure where my talents lie. If you're not sure, like I told you, I got a class. We can work on that. But I tell you, give your talents to the Lord and allow the Lord to manifest his presence and his anointing to double it, to double it, to double it, to double it for his glory, because it is in kingdom building that we're operating. We are trying to represent Christ, and as we run Christ, we are holding up the blood-stained banner to give God the glory and the praise, to stand in and say, world, I got a better choice for you. If you come on the Lord's side, he'll make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Next week, we're going to follow up with this. I didn't get a chance to talk about our sense of self in the concept of mind, body, and spirit. And we're going to do that on next week. We're going to put the Holy Ghost in its full operation. And hopefully, I'm just decreeing and declaring that you have received a greater understanding of operating in the gifts and in the church and how God's gifts operate in us. They're operating in us through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God being the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the third person of the deity. It's a person. So by his presence and by his Spirit. But we were late this morning. It's time for us to close. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for those that have listened. I pray, God, that something have been said, something have been clicked, God, that they may understand how to operate in your gifts. We pray, God, for those, God, that will hear this blog. And God, if they have not repented of their sins, I pray, God, that they will repent and say, forgive us of our sins. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and therefore, as we have accepted and confessed our sins and accepted Jesus as our Savior, we are now saved. I pray, God, that you heal, deliver, set free those that are in need right now. And God, I pray, God, for those that may be confused, that you give a clarity and understanding, Father God, of this word and how it relates and how it's interpreted and how it functions as we function in this body. And I pray, God, that you move us closer to you. I pray for any of our loved ones that are not saved today. God, I pray, God, that you'll deliver them from the snares of Satan, and pray, God, that you'll bring them into the realm of salvation. We pray, God, that you'll heal, deliver, and set free. And I pray, God, for all those that are attached to this blog, God, my co-host, I pray for her in the name of Jesus. I pray her strength, God. I pray, God, that you'll bless her in whatever endeavor she's in right now, God. I pray, God, for each and every one. I pray for those that are on the line. I pray for those that were trying to get on the line as we had technical difficulties. Father God, I pray, God, that you will move them closer to you, and I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them right now in the name of Jesus. God, you know what they need. I pray, God, that you'll move them forward in their gifts and talents, Father God, that you'll give them an understanding of how they operate in the body. And I pray, God, that we're all here to serve you. We're all here to function as one. And I pray, God, that you'll bless us to do that. Holy Spirit, be with us, guide us, and lead us, and continue to keep us safe from this Delta variant. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you that are on the line on this morning. I pray, God keeps you safe from this Delta variant. I pray you continue to wash your hands and wear your mask. Walk in cautiousness. Allow the Lord to speak to you. Allow the Lord to guide you and allow the Lord to lead you. Certainly, we operate in a time where we have to be mindful of what we're doing. And we don't need to be asleep. So I pray that your eyes will be open and your understanding will be open. This is my prayer. Your co-host will be Evangelist Terry Rogers, who will be speaking on next week and finishing this series up. God bless. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.